On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast available now.
Hey, Gavin Rossdale, how are you? It's Laszlo.
I'm good. How are you doing, Laszlo?
I'm good, man. I'll ask you a question. Where are you right now?
I'm in Washington.
Okay. And is that where you are to prepare? I know you're going on tour. You're playing here May 8th. But what do you do right now? Like, is it just like, you know, promo? Is it, you know, working on stuff, putting stuff together? You know, what's your life like right now on a daily basis?
Well, I'm in Washington to do NPR Tiny Desk.
Oh, right.
Ooh, cool.
So that's a really cool, prestigious show. So we're really excited about that. So I did a couple of shows this weekend. I came to Washington, rehearse today and do it tomorrow. So that's why I'm here.
Do you, when you go to do something like Tiny Desk, you know, obviously it's in a small setting. It's kind of a really cool thing that people get to see. Is that where you're like, okay, how are we going to rework this song to make it work in a space like this?
That would be the logical move, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Try and take it on. Take on the environment for what it is. You know, every environment is different, and that's a whole different setup. No monitoring. It's just sort of very organic. So we love playing like that. And actually, people don't see that enough of us. So this is a really wonderful opportunity to kind of show a different side of the band that's not so loud, you know?
Right. But it is the kind of thing where, you know, some of these Tiny Desk performances go more viral than others, and you see people sharing them. And I just wonder, as an artist, if you have this pressure to think, I want ours to be one of the most memorable. I right. want to. How do I top? You know, whatever.
Right. Is
the last
it nerve wracking? Are you nervous? Like, yeah. Okay. And is it? You've been doing it so long and played in front of so many audiences over the course of your career, and we'll get into all of that stuff. But is this one of those things you're like, all right, I got to nail this?
I mean, ultimately, that's how we. Always try to live like all of us, right? Just try to do the best you can on any given day. So, yeah, it presents a number of kind of different challenges. And, you know, I watched Billie Eilish and I was just like, oh my God, super intimidated because it's all about the voice. And really, you don't need much. You know, the best, for me, the best Tiny Desk performances were not when there's loads of people singing, it's all a big, it's when it's one voice and like a single guitar, right. You know. Like that with her and her brothers, one single note on guitar and her voice, and it's more than enough. It's plenty. It's genius. It's like, it's heaven on earth.
Yeah, but you yourself have an iconic voice, and one of those things I've always wondered about, someone in your position who has to step out on stage in front of thousands of people, they're all there to see you. A lot of them have seen you before. If not, they've seen performances of yours. They know what you're capable of. It has to happen to an artist at some point where you step out on stage or behind a tiny desk and you start to sing and you're like, oh my God, well, where are my pipes? I can't sing. What do I do?
Or where are we in the song?
Right. Yeah, someone give me some honey tea and some lyrics.
Am I singing the right lyrics? Is this what the happening?
Why give me that kind of question? Congratulations on the worst question of the year.
But I'm sure at some point it has to have happened where you just go, how am I going to do this? What do I do in this moment?
No. Let's not. You've heard about positive thinking and affirmations. I don't know why you're going this route.
Oh, you're past it now.
You're past it now.
You're a cul-de-sac. You're a professional.
You're a cul-de-sac. Could you reverse out the call sign you're in, please? Sir?
It's the 23-year-olds who are getting started in their careers that I worry about when they start to see some success, and then they go, all right, I got this, and they go out there, and they learn that lesson that first time. I'm like, oh, God, like a stand-up comic who knows his routine works. Right. It kills, and then he tells a story about going into a room, and it doesn't kill. To me, a musician's version of that would be going out there and being like, I cannot find my voice tonight. What the hell is going on?
This is like a terrible line of questioning. Why are we doing this? What are we doing? What's it like when you come to work and you're like, I hate it. No one wants to call me. Come on, let's
it happens all the time here. Every day I get in here, I'm like, this is not very good. This is not very good. I can't believe people listen to it. Just horrible.
3 days a week or four, at least. You know, you talk about trying to do your best every. You always
maybe
try to do your best.
That's why it's our perspective of like, how's it for everybody else? Like, I'm sure they go through it.
You're always trying to do your best.
I will say, at like a tiny desk, you probably don't even remember, but years and years ago, man, I don't remember how many years ago, but you did a Kegs and Eggs with us, which was like at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we served a beer.
Oh, right.
And you walked in and just fucking nailed it.
I mean, the way I see it is this, right? I got loads of kids. You know, I got three young boys, or, you know, a couple of young 11-year-olds and 17-year-olds still living with me. And it's like, I don't like being away from them. So the only way to justify being away from them is to do something great. Like, if I was to go away and kind of phone in performances or just kind of play 16 stone over and over, it'd be terrible. It's sort of, it has to be about reaching and about going for it and being the best I can. Otherwise, it makes no sense to be away from those incredible people. So, I know it sounds a bit weird, but it's kind of fun to just try and outdo yourself every day, every show, and think about it. And that's what I think about. How can I get it better? What was better? What's working? What isn't working? And when I indulge myself like that, it's way more fun than just, you know, just phoning in the songs and ambling across the stage. Like, for me, it's like, it's life or death. Like, these, I know there's so many bands people want to see. I know people have choices. I just want to make people just blow them away. Otherwise, there's no point.
But it's you say that, and it's interesting. I am a single dad of two boys, 18 and 14, going to be 15. And I look back on it when I was in my 20s, and if you would have told me I could handle that kind of fucking responsibility, I would have said, you got the wrong guy here. I'm not going to be able to pull this off. And then, you know, you say something like that. Do you find yourself looking back on it in that way too? Like, whoa, where did I end up and how did this happen? And don't get me wrong. I love it. They're great. And, you know, one of them's going to go away to college. I'm going to be devastated when he leaves. But I also look back and like, I was not prepared for this.
Yeah, I think that it's just like life. You know, there's no true preparation for life. You can study, but until you're in it and doing it, and you know, kudos to you. You know, much respect for like bringing up two boys. I'm sure they're great, and it's a beautiful thing. And no one gets it right the whole time. My main thing was always I was super honest. If ever I kind of screwed up, or I'd get mad about the wrong thing, I'd feel terrible, and I'd realize, man, I screwed up. I'd apologize to them. I'd be like, you know what? Adults sometimes make mistakes and we overreact, and that was an extreme overreaction. I apologize, you know. And that was always fared really well with us. So the dialogue has always been really honest and open, you know.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've really appreciated about some of your interviews, especially in the last few years, is I feel like you've been very open and honest about anxiety and depression and those things, and it takes you know, voices like yours to help remove some of those stigmas. And one of the things that I heard you say, and I don't remember exactly where if I read this or if I was listening to you on a podcast, but you were talking about kind of this anxiety that so many of us feel, and this depression that so many of us can feel. A lot of times, if we trace it back, there's something following us, usually from our childhood, and maybe we know what it is and maybe we don't know what it is. But do you think that that's the case, that for most people who are struggling with anxiety and depression, that there is something there in the past that kind of triggered it?
Of course, 1,000%, that's what it is. And it's like, that's what, I mean, I never understand that phrase about working on yourself, because I'd be like, what does that mean? And then I took it to interpret it as like, you know, owning you, the challenges, seeing what the triggers are, and just trying to find your way through it. And a lot of forgiveness for yourself and for the people that perpetrated it on you. And also people in the present, you know, that have betrayed you. And all those things, it's quite difficult navigating life. And I think it's hard for a lot of people, and they fall off the grid of, you know, there's so much expectation put on people. And everybody wants to be rich and live a life. And it just, it's hard for regular people just to kind of find that break. So for me, it just was great to just be talking about it, because that seems to be a really good step in the right direction, is to own up to it. There's nothing worse than people get bottled up, bottled up and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and then terrible things happen. So for me, it's all about a shared journey, and then it's so much well, it's a bit easier if it's a shared journey.
Right. And so using that, interestingly enough, and you said you always had an open dialogue with your kids. You know, my 15-year-old went through a, you know, there's some things, life goes through it, and I see him take those things and push them down and not deal with them, which is the way I've always dealt with everything. Like, you know, I guess me and my dad raised me, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, wipe some dirt on it and move on. What are you crying about? Yeah. I'll give you something to cry about. And I see him push that down, you know, just automatically, like, you know, without me saying anything, I see him take those things and push it down. And I told him one day, I said, man, you got to talk about this. It doesn't have to be with me. It can be with whoever you want, or somebody, your brother, your friends, whatever. But if you keep pushing it down, you're going to end up like me, which is 23 years old, drunk, punching some guy in a bar, and you're wildly mad at him, and you have no idea why the fuck you're mad at him. Like, it's not his fault, but here you are. And that's the stuff that just comes out because, you know, you're not dealing with it, and you're acting like I did.
Yes, frustration and rage, you know?
Yeah, and
I mean, nothing worse, one of the worst things ever is to be misunderstood. And people, it's easy for people to misunderstand you if you don't communicate. Because what are they working with? And they're just working with the effects of what's happened to you as opposed to who you are. So, you know, I mean, since the science of things, since 1999, I was writing about, like, the chemicals, you know, just about on that record, what's it called?
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You know, silence is not the way and stuff like that. And just about talking, you know, just about talking and communicating, because that's really where it's at, you know.
Yeah. And we say that, and we know that it's important. But I have to admit that there are plenty of times in my life where I think, all right, I know people say that you're supposed to talk about this. I know my wife would say, hey, I want you to tell me what's going on. But there is still definitely a voice in my head. And I don't know if this is toxic masculinity or what it is. But there is a voice that says she does not want to hear your problems.
Oh,
she does not want to see you vulnerable. She does not want to see you weak. You need to be strong.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not toxic, because the toxic one is where the guys use it against them, and that's where we get into trouble. So no, I just think it's just quite hard. But every day a small step, and being open is really the way, because it just. Holding on to things that just builds is like a ticking time bomb, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like this leads to, like, an interesting question. You know, when 16 Stone came out, you know, you were doing these shows. I remember seeing you, you know, I was doing radio then, but I remember seeing you in, I think, maybe Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. And I was with a buddy of mine, and a bass line came out, and it moved my shirt. And I was like, this may be the fucking loudest rock and roll band I've ever heard in my life. And it was such a good show. But I go back and think about that moment, and looking at you on stage and owning it and being like, I mean, there was no doubt at an arena that size, in a city that size in America, that this was huge. And I just wonder, like, what that guy would say to you, like, yo, you know, what's the difference? What have you learned? What have you not learned? And what's important now to you that what, you know, wasn't important then, or what was important then that isn't important now? And it's interesting because it's been, I would imagine, such a long journey, you know, not only musically, but your personal life. Like, you don't have to check Facebook to realize what's going on with your exes. It's everywhere. And you're like, well, I wish I didn't see that, but all these things happen. And what would you say now? Like, man, this worked, or it didn't work, or what's the ideas behind?
Well, I mean, that's an amazing question. I wish we had more time. But, I mean, I think that this really comes down to possibly being a bit more aware that it doesn't matter so much what people think, because they don't think about it for that long, and you don't matter to people as much as you think. You know, and if you could just free yourself from that burden of other people's opinions, it can really set you free and set you on an interesting journey. That's the kind of simplest way I'd put it within the time frame we got.
Right. Yeah, I remember you saying one time, I think you maybe even had a name for it, but I remember you saying something that resonated with me about, you know, if people say, you could have 100 people say something nice about you, and then if one person says something bad about you, I've always said I listen to that one person. That one person is the person that's got me figured out. But you took it further and said, I'll say worse things about myself than that one person. No matter how bad it is, the thing that I'm saying about myself is worse. And I wish I could stop doing that. I still struggle with that, to be honest, you know?
The punitive, that's called a punitive superego.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a psychiatric dilemma. But you should try and... It's all about kind of like realizing that stuff. People got their own journeys, their own problems, and they don't care about you as much as they think, much as you think. And therefore, it frees you up.
Yeah. If you're speaking in that kind of tune, if you go on stage, and I'm sure it's happened, and you know who knows when it is or all these things, but you go on stage, what's the time when you started playing a song and you're like, holy shit, I didn't realize these people loved this song? Like, I knew I had the hits. I knew people would listen to Come Down, you know, Mouth, all these things. But what's the song I played and the crowd went wild and I was surprised by it?
I get spoiled. I get spoiled. I get really spoiled. I just really like it when people sing, particularly the newer songs, because there's been a sort of stages of our career where people that just knew the first stuff are there more than the kind of the new stuff we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's cool. But then I went in the crowd the other night, wherever I was, I don't know, upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And I went in the crowd and it's like, it was really boisterous and young, and he's just like, I was like, it felt generational. So that's exciting to me when I see multi-generational and quite, because you need a young audience to move the audience as well, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, were you okay with being called a grunge band when you guys got popular?
Yeah, I mean, we would. That was one of the better things we were called, so it's fine.
I didn't know. I have no idea. You know, like maybe an artist is like, don't call me grunge, don't lump me in with that. But then you look back and you go,
rock and roll was always a one for me because I don't use the blues. So I'm more of a rock band than rock and roll. Makes me think of the blues. So the only thing I ever said, I was like, well, I'm not really that bluesy.
Yeah, but here you are, and as we see fewer and fewer of those bands that are still around, did you ever think that you'd be making great music and filling stadiums and all that stuff, out touring, seeing the success?
Last man standing, right? Because I don't know, you know what I mean? I love making music. I really am lucky to have three other people that I tour with who are just fantastic and inspire me every day and keep me good and consistent and keep a standard, you know? So I'm into that. I feel like I'm a working musician, you know, I'm sort of in the middle somewhere doing pretty good and just keep my head down and try and be good.
Well, congratulations on all your success. Yeah. I know we're excited to see it when you're here in now just a couple of months.
Yeah.
And also, I just have one more request. Are you going to start acting again? Because I felt like for a minute, hey, he's acting now. He's real good at this. Of course, it makes sense. He should be doing this all the time. And then I haven't seen you in a while. Is that just something that you...
Yeah, it's like just not getting... it's tough being an actor. Like, it's... And so... I haven't turned anything great down, put it like that.
Okay.
So it's just how life goes. And, I feel very connected with music. And so maybe I was, it's a bit greedy to expect too much. But if it comes along, let's do it.
Good. Look forward to it. Well, congratulations on all the success. And the Tiny Desk, I'll be excited to watch that. I'm sure you guys will be great. And we're excited to see you when you're here in May.
And sorry this line of questioning started off as the worst fucking questioning I've ever heard.
You know what? I can put that pin in my hat now. I've got that there. Literally been told worst fucking question ever. It's something.
So funny. Oh, my God. Good. All right. We rallied back, so we're all good. Have a great day.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Gavin. Take care.
Okay.
Hey everyone, it's Summer, exec producer for the Church of Laszlo, and thank you for listening to Toxic and Problematic. Thank you to Kenny at Metal Cake Construction and Dick Ray Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling for keeping Slim Fast warm in the winter and cool in the summer. See you next week.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.